say, take your Bibles, turn them to Psalm 23, 23rd Psalm, and we're going to start reading there, picking up where we left off last week in the 23rd Psalm. We have managed to get all the way down to verse number 5, Psalm 23. And your Bibles may open up automatically to that. They should. Amen. And Psalm 23, everybody that is there, say amen.
Amen.
And if you're not, there are Bibles in front of you as well. So please feel free to go ahead and take one of those and use that whilst we're reading. Psalm 23, I'm going to read all together, verses 1 through 6. Many of you probably have this already committed to memory, and we trust that you do. Starting together, verse number 1. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. So far, we've looked at verse 1. We saw the position of David's shepherd. We saw he's the Lord. We also saw the possession of David's shepherd. He said, he's my shepherd. Then we saw the provision of David's shepherd. David said, I shall not want. Then in verse 2, we saw the production of David's shepherd. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures and leads me beside the still waters. And then we saw in verse 3, the purification of the shepherd. He restores my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. And then we saw in verse number 4, the protection of the shepherd. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. And today we're going to be looking at the preparation of David's shepherd. The preparation of David's shepherd. He says, thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Father, bless now the reading of your word. Lord, as it is taught and preached this morning, I pray that the Holy Spirit would allow every heart to be touched in the way that that heart needs to be touched. Lord, there are many needs here today. I don't know each and every one of those needs, but I know each heart here needs you. And some way, shape, fashion, or form, some need you to save them today from their sin. There's a place called hell that they can go. Others maybe need that sustaining help that only you can give. And maybe some need that sustenance help today. For Lord, you can prepare a table for them in the presence of their enemies. You, Lord, can anoint their head with oil. Lord, you can make the cup run over. God, would you do that for us today? As the word of God is preached, speak to every heart, every soul, every mind. Help us to be focused on purpose to the word of God and what it can do for us and what you would allow it to do in our lives. Lord, I do pray that if there's one today that knows not Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, if they were to die today, I pray that they might put their faith and confidence in Jesus Christ and the gospel, the death, the burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. And then for Christians, Lord, help us to recognize the preparations that you're making for us are ready and available. We just have to come and die. Thank you for loving us, Lord. Meet our need today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Brother Jeff's going to sing a special for us this morning. Brother Jeff.
Jesus loves me.
Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. The Bible tells me the love of God is greater far than tongue or pen could ever tell. It goes beyond the highest star and reaches to the lowest hell. The guilty pair bowed down with care, God gave his son to win. His erring child he reconciled and pardoned from his sin. Could we with thee the ocean fill, and were the skies of parchment made, were every star on earth a quill, and every man a scribe by trade, to write the love of God above would drain the ocean dry, nor could the scroll contain the whole, though stretched from sky to sky. Oh, love of God, how rich and pure, how measureless and strong, it shall forevermore endure the saints and angels' song. Yes, Jesus loves me.
Amen. If you didn't catch the message in that song, it is, yes, Jesus loves me. Amen. And the love of God goes beyond our comprehension. And I am so glad that I have a God that loves me. Amen. It's great that my parents love me. It's great that my sisters love me. It's great that my wife loves me. Great that my children love me, you know, but there's nothing like God loving me. Amen. And I'm so glad the Bible says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. Praise God. Thank you, Brother Wilbur. I appreciate that message in song. Well, today we're looking at verse number 5, and quickly we should probably be able to finish this out next week by God's grace if we don't get bogged down today. Amen. So looking forward to that. By the way, we looked at the position, the possession, the provision, production, purification, and the protection of David's shepherd so far. And now, because of the protection of the shepherd in verse number 4 that we saw, David found out that he was protected in his walk. He was protected through the valley. He was protected through the shadow of death. And because David was not fearing any evil, and because his Lord was his shepherd, he was with him. He was going to be with a rod and to give him correction and combat. And also, he was going to have a staff to provide some compassion, some care, some concern, and some counsel. Now, David states basically in verse number 5 that he can enjoy the preparations his shepherd has for him, even in the presence of his enemies. Amen. How many of y'all got some enemies out there? Amen. By the way, you may not raise your hand, but I assure you, you've got some enemies out there. Amen. And if you don't think you have any, you've got a chief enemy if you're saved. He's called the devil. Amen. He doesn't like you. Doesn't like anything about you. Amen. Doesn't like your father. And because he doesn't like your father, he doesn't like you. And so he will make sure that you've got some enemies against you. Amen. But he is the chief enemy. David here said, you know what? Because of my shepherd, because he is the Lord, because of what he has done and what he's meant in my life, you know what? I don't have to worry about anything. I'm protected in verse number 4. But then also he says, yeah, I've got some preparations as well. And that's what we're going to be looking at today. The preparation of David's shepherd. He said, thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. How many of y'all like to eat? I think all of us would like to eat, amen. You know, for some it's a pastime, for some it's a hobby. You know, for some they've taken it up in sport, amen. All of us like to eat the things that we like to eat. And if you listen to my children, you ask them, are they hungry? They'll say, yes, I'm hungry for what I want to eat. And that's pretty much true with all of us. I'm hungry for what I want to eat. Amen. We don't like the things that we need to eat. The things I want to eat, I'm always hungry for that. Amen. And so David here, we're going to consider three basic points underneath this heading of the preparation of David's shepherd. The first point being David's shepherd prepared some feasting for him. David's shepherd prepared some feasting for him. He says, thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. The preparations were made in spite of the fear of evil there in verse 4 that we found. He said, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. But then also, the preparations were made in the face of enemies. He says, down there, verse 5, thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. I want us to consider two basic things about this particular point here. First of all, we're going to look at the factual feasting from the sheep's view. The factual feasting from the sheep's view. Or in other words, what did this mean to a literal sheep? Then we're going to look at it from a spiritual application. What does this mean to us from a spiritual view? So first of all, let's consider the factual feasting from a sheep's view. If David said, thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies, what is he talking about? Well, in his book, A Shepherd's Look at the 23rd Psalm, Philip Keller stated this. He said that the high mountain ranges that the sheep would go to graze on, that the shepherd would take them up to, were called tablelands. Tablelands. So you had a great expanse of tablelands there, and the sheep would be led up to this area to graze, and it was called a tableland, and they would put the sheep out there and let them graze. But at the same time, when these sheep were out there grazing, they would have to make sure that the poisonous plants were removed. How many of y'all like oleanders? Oleanders are the plants that kind of go down the side of our back property here coming over. They can be in the red blooms or yellow blooms or white blooms or pink blooms. They look very, very good. But guess what? They're poisonous. They're poisonous. So if you have those around your animal chews those up. Guess what? Your animal could get sick. So in other words, G2, come up here for a second. G2's my sheep. And so now I am the shepherd, and I have led my sheep through the valley of the shadow of death. He's not fearing any evil because I'm with him. My rod. You like the rod?
No.
Not really. My rod and my staff comforts him. And I'm preparing a table before him. So as he's the sheep, I would normally, literally, the shepherd would have to do this. He'd have to keep the sheep at bay, and then he'd have to come over to the grazing area and pluck out all the things that were poisonous for the sheep and make sure that everything that was poisonous that could harm young sheep here is pulled out. And so when David said, thou preparest a table before me, what he's saying is that the shepherd goes before, and anything that's harmful for me, he makes sure he's pulled out, and then he leads me to this place where I can now graze and eat all the stuff that I want to, because everything is good for me to eat. So I can eat that, I can eat this, I can eat that. Amen. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. At the same time, whilst the shepherd is preparing the table or getting the ground set, guess what? There's still coyotes around. There's still bears around. There's still wolves around. And I've got to still protect young sheep here.
And so whilst I'm preparing the table for him and getting it ready for him, I'm also doing it in the face of the enemies, because there's a bear. Stand by, sheep. Yah, with my rod. Yah, with my staff. Stand back, sheep. There's a coyote. Yah, yah. And so the shepherd then had to actually protect the sheep so that he could graze even in the face of the presence of his enemies.
Amen.
So y'all get the factual view of what's going on here? And so when David is saying, thou preparest the table before me, David is saying, you know what? My Lord, my shepherd goes and prepares for me that which is good. He takes away anything that is harmful for me and makes a way that I can get to some good nourishing sustenance even in the face of my enemies. And so now young sheep can eat. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. And so guess what? It has never been his job to prepare his food. At home, yes. We're talking Bible, amen.
Right.
The sheep cannot prepare their food.
Right,
the sheep have one goal, go and eat.
Mm-hmm.
And guess what? If poisonous plants are left out, guess what? Young sheep is not smart.
Right.
Young sheep is not bright. Young sheep is defenseless. Young sheep has really nothing going for him other than he eats. And so young sheep would come up here and say, ooh, an oleander. Woo, it's the brightest thing there. Chomp, 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 chomp. And guess what? Ooh, Mr. Shepherd, I feel bad in the belly. Ooh, Mr. Shepherd, I think I'm going to be sick. Blah. And young sheep could actually die from what he ate. Now, is it the sheep's fault or is it the shepherd's fault? Shepherd's fault, because the shepherd's supposed to prepare the table in the presence of enemies. It's not his job to prepare it. Aren't you glad that God has already prepared the word of God
Amen,
for you?
Amen.
And nothing you got to do. Folks have tried to change it. They try to take stuff out of it. They try to do anything they can to get it. Try to discredit it, deface it, dename it, denounce it, reject it. But guess what? It's still the word of God. Still the word of God. And so thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Now, let's bring it up today. G2, you like to eat, don't you?
Yes.
In the kitchen, when mom was cooking, guess what? There are still some enemies in the kitchen to G2.
Yes, sir, there is.
A stove, fire, a knife, raw foods. You like raw eggs? You don't like that? Amen. And so on a practical basis, mama still has to protect her little lambs around the house, because there's things in the house that while she's preparing the table in the presence of enemies, there's enemies in the kitchen that are dangerous to him or to an infant that could get to them and really hurt them. Scalding hot water on the stove is very dangerous to a young child. A knife that's sharp is very dangerous. We had a knife just drop the other day in the kitchen, and I saw my wife jumping up like that, amen, to prevent from getting stuck by the knife. And I looked over, and Faith was barefoot. I said, I couldn't imagine that point would hit you right on your foot. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of my enemies. So there's a practical aspect to that, but there's also a factual aspect to that, but there's a spiritual aspect as well. Thank you, G2.
Amen. Good job.
So David said, you know what? Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. He's making sure that things are taken care of. And so the shepherd is watching over the coyotes, the cougars, the bears, and things like that. He's watching out for any predators that are there. And he's preparing this table in the presence of his enemies. David would say this in Psalm 18:3. I will call upon the Lord who is worthy to be praised, and so shall I be saved from my enemies. And verse 48 of Psalm 18, he says this. He delivereth me from my enemies. Yea, thou liftest me up above those that rise up against me. Thou hast delivered me from the violent man. And so we see the factual feasting from the sheep's view. But then there's a spiritual feasting from the sheep's view. I'm reminded how good Jesus was to the disciples when after his resurrection, you remember the story, Peter said, I go a fishing. And what did several of the other apostles say? We also go with thee. So they went out fishing, and it said that night they caught nothing. Jesus had come and prepared. Matter of fact, turn over to John chapter 21. You can see the story for yourself. Amen. John 21. And what we're talking about are the spiritual feasting from the sheep's view. And over here, you find in verses 1 through 4, Jesus asked them what they had caught, and they hadn't caught anything. And the disciples go out there, and he says in verse 5, children, have you any meat? They answered, no. And he said unto them, cast the net on the right side of the ship, and ye shall find. They cast, therefore, now they were not able to draw it for the multitude of fishes. Therefore, that disciple whom Jesus loved saith unto Peter, it is the Lord. And of course, Peter jumps in and goes and swims over there, finds Jesus. And notice in verse number 11, Simon Peter went up and drew the net to the land full of great fishes, 153. And for all there were so many, yet was not the net broken. Jesus said unto him, what? Come and dine. And none of the disciples just asked him, who art thou, knowing that it was the Lord? What happened here? Jesus has already got a table prepared for them in the presence of their enemies. They're running. They're scared. Jesus is dead. They thought he was gone. It's all over. I quit. I'm going fishing.
Yes, sir.
And Jesus said, you know what? I'm going to prepare a table for you.
Even
in the presence of your enemies. I know you're afraid of the Jews and the Sanhedrin and the Sadducees and the Pharisees and scribes. I know you're running scared. But guess what? I'm going to get something prepared for you. Come and dine. Jesus prepared a table for them in the presence of their enemies to make sure they had something to eat physically, but he was going to give them something to eat spiritually, the Word of God. And Jesus began speaking to them and commissioning them and telling them what they needed to do. He said, go and feed my sheep and feed my lambs. He had already told them that. He's recommissioning them. And Peter down there asked the question, what is this brother going to do with that brother? He said, don't you worry about it. Just follow the Word of God.
Amen.
The application for us is that the table of the Word of God is always prepared for us to eat. We just need to come and dine.
Right.
You don't have to do anything to the Word of God except get in there, chew it up, digest it, chew it up and chew it up and chew it up and swallow it down. Let it go into your heart. Amen. There's nothing you need to do except come and dine. Why? Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. If you got enemies, guess what? You better get in the book. Better get in the Word of God. Amen. And by the way, he's watching the enemy while you're getting in the book.
Amen.
Amen. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. And so what is David saying? David's saying, factually, I understand the feasting from the sheep's view, but also spiritually, I understand the application from a spiritual perspective. I just need to come and dine. Even in the face of enemies, God's word is there for us to feast on, get nourished for the battle that we will face. Why? We wrestle not against flesh and blood, according to Ephesians 6:12, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Guess what you need? You need to come and dine.
Amen.
You need to come and dine. You need to get to the table that God has prepared for you in the blessed word of God. Psalm 119, 89 says, forever, O Lord, thy word is settled. Amen. The word of God is already prepared for us. We just have to get it. Just have to get it. Amen. Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled. 2 Timothy 3:16 says, all scripture is given by inspiration, is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for a correction, for instruction in righteousness. Why? That the man of God may be perfect. Truly furnishing all good works. So when you're looking at this table here, the spiritual aspect is very, very clear. 2 Peter 1:21 says, holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. And the Word of God is available anytime, anywhere, any place, any day. You can pick up the Bible and you can read it. Amen. Why? Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of my enemies. God made sure that men gave their lives for this book. You read some of the history of the men that penned this book down. You read some of their testimonies of what happened to them. And when they stood for this book, and when they penned this book down, when they wrote this book, they were killed for this book. What am I saying? Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. We've got it. But let me ask you a question. How many of us come and dine? How many of us come and dine on the Word of God, and so we can get some feasting from the Word of God? And you find Christians now, they're malnutrition. They are feeble. They are weak. They have no spiritual sustenance. They've got no vitality, spiritually speaking. Why? We don't get in the book.
That's right, we don't. Amen.
Hey, if you don't eat physically, guess what's going to happen to you? You're going to perish.
Yes, you is. You
if you don't eat this Word of God, you're going to perish. Some of the men of God lost their lives. Jeremiah 15, 16, he said it this way, thy words were found, and I did eat them. And thy word was unto me the joy and rejoicing of mine heart. What makes you joyful? What makes you rejoice? Job 23, 12, Job said this, I've esteemed the words of his mouth more than my necessary food. Amen. Luke 4, 4, Jesus would say it this way, it is written that man should not live by bread alone, but by every word of God. The more of the Word of God you hide in your heart, the more you have available for you when it's time to face your difficulties. Psalm 119:11, Thy Word have I hid in mine heart that I might not sin against Thee. Now, I like hiding things from my children that I don't want them to get into. I've got several things hidden around the house. They'll probably find it one day. And oftentimes I'll hide candy away, some of my favorite candy, because I know if I put it out, they're going to eat it all. Amen. My wife, she'll ration it out. Amen. My kids, that ration is out the window. Amen. They're going to take it all. And so occasionally I'll go and pull out my stash and their eyes will get big. Where did you get that from? I said, I was hiding it from you. The Bible says, Thy word have I hid in mine heart that I might not sin against thee. I've taken God's word. I've reserved it in my heart. I've studied it up. I've chewed it up. I've prepared it. So when I come to a place, guess what? And I need it. When I face the enemies, when I face the difficulties, when I face the challenges, I pull it out. I hid it in my heart that I might not sin against God. Why? Because I came to the table that thou hast prepared for me, even in the face of my enemies. And I ate the word of God. And now I can hide it up. And when the challenges come, guess what? I can stand. I can stand. Hey, you give me an athlete that doesn't eat healthy, I'll give you an athlete that's not going to win a whole lot of races. Amen. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of my enemies. There's a spiritual aspect, but there's also a physical aspect to that from the sheep's view. Notice the next one. Not just David's shepherd prepared some feasting. David's shepherd prepared an anointing. He goes on to say, Thou anointest my head with oil back there in Psalm 23. Thou anointest my head with oil. And in Psalm 23, the word anoint means to satisfy, to make fat, or to fatten. In the Old Testament, it often came with the idea of designating for a specific purpose or setting aside for intended time of use or to sanctify something, to set it apart. And we're going to do the same thing. Look at the factual anointing from the sheep's view and then the spiritual anointing. Philip Keller, in his book, The 23rd Shepherd's Look at the 23rd Psalm, says there's two basic things, really three he mentioned, about things that the sheep had to be anointed from. One was annoying flies. Remember we talked about the annoying flies before. How many of y'all like flies? I don't like flies. The shepherd had to anoint the sheep from annoying flies, and the other thing was aggressive fighting. Aggressive fighting. And that necessitated this anointing. Up in the tablelands in the summertime was also the time called fly time. And there's a myriad of flies that could disturb the sheep. And I don't know about you, any kind of fly is disturbing. I mean, I don't care. It can be a fruit fly. It can be a horse fly. It can be a house fly. Amen. It's a fly. And it's going to meet the same fate if it's around me. You say, you kill one of God's creatures. Amen. Let him in your house. Amen. And so these flies were annoying to the sheep. And there's one specific fly that was the most annoying. It was called the nose fly. You get the picture. It would buzz around their ears and their head trying to lay in a soft mucus area. They would hatch the eggs. The eggs would go into a membrane and literally annoy and drive the sheep crazy. Keller would say some sheep would frantically run about and sometimes they would run into each other and oftentimes they would beat their heads until they actually killed themselves because of this annoyance. I understand that. I've hurt myself chasing flies in my house. Both trying to get them and both trying to get away from them. I've tripped over things. I have hurt things. I've knocked things down trying to swat a fly because they annoy me. My wife came home the other day, and I was closing the bathroom door, and she said, what you doing? I said, a fly is in here. And he's going to meet his maker. And I closed that door, and I got to swatting. I said, don't anybody open that door. If he gets out, your life or his. No, I'm just joking. That fly is going down.
Amen.
You know, the most disgusting thing is a fly, found a fly in your refrigerator. That's disgusting.
Ouch.
That's disgusting. But you leave them in there long enough, there ain't no oxygen in there. Guess what? They'll go out. Lights will go out. And you find a dead fly in there, that's pretty disgusting. But guess what? These annoying flies here, these nose flies, were a menace to the sheep. And so the shepherd had to anoint them with oil. These annoying flies, this aggressive fighting, when it was that time, they didn't like the flies, and so they would often get hurt. And these were these type of flies, the nose flies, was most troublesome for the sheep. If successful, the eggs would hatch, burrow into the membranes, and lead to illnesses, irritations, inflammation, and possibly blindness. They would beat themselves up to flee the annoyance. Summertime also brought not just the annoying flies, but the aggressive fighting. Summertime oftentimes was mating season. And so the male sheep would go and they would butt each other for dominance.
Yes, sir.
And so the shepherd found that if he anointed their heads with this oil, when they hit, they would glance off and wouldn't be so detrimental to the sheep as they fought. And so with this aggressive fighting that's going on, and with these annoying flies, the shepherd had to do some anointing of his sheep physically to get them where they needed to be. There was also a scab that they could get to, something called the scab, and it was an infection that the sheep would get when they would rub heads. And if one sheep got infected, it could infect the other sheep. And the scab was something that was not good. And so the shepherd here had to do something. And so David said, "Thou anointest my head with oil. You made sure that I had that." The remedy for the sheep on both occasions for the annoying flies and aggressive fighting was the shepherd, for the shepherd to apply this linseed or olive oil mixture to the sheep's head and their nose to protect against the annoying flies and combat the aggressive fighting. It was medicinal for the flies and a lubricant for the fighting. Let me tell you something. Let's get that spiritual. You know, Christians can sometimes butt heads. Christians can sometimes fight as well. Christians can sometimes annoy each other. God forbid that I could get on your nerves or you could get on my nerves. God forbid. But guess what? It happens. Aren't you glad that we have the anointing of the Holy Spirit that says, you know what? Be ye angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath. Aren't you glad we've got the anointing of the Holy Spirit that brings to our remembrance the word of God to do right and be not weary in well-doing, for in due time, due season, we shall reap if we faint not. Hang in there. Forbearing and loving one another. Anointing. So there's a factual anointing, but the spiritual anointing. I'm sure David recalls the time when it came to be anointed, and he's probably recalling the time when Samuel came in there and they called him from the field and brought him in front of his brothers and anointed him with the oil, and Samuel left. And he probably recalls the time of going down there and finding the aggressive fighting with Goliath, or the annoying flies of Saul's court, or running from Saul and all his court and all that foolishness there, or running from Absalom and all the things that happened there. It was annoying there, and it was aggravating here, and he's probably saying, "I'm glad I'm anointed. I'm glad I'm the king. I'm glad I know what God's doing in my life. Hey, I'm glad I'm saved.
Amen.
I'm glad I got the Holy Spirit tells me I'm saved. I don't need anybody to tell me I'm saved. I don't need anybody to hope that I'm saved. I know I'm saved. Why? I've been anointed by the Holy Spirit of God."
Amen.
I'm not talking about that charismatic foolishness. You need the anointing. I ain't talking about that. I'm talking about the Word of God. I'm talking about the Holy Spirit of God. You can get in all that foolishness that you want to. You need anointing, brother. Let me touch you, brother. Let me feel you, brother. Can you feel the anointing? I don't feel that foolishness. Now, some of those men mean well.
Yeah, they do, Pastor.
They mean well. But that ain't how you get it.
That's right, Pastor. That's right.
You ain't no apostle. That ain't how you get it. You get the anointing from being born again.
Amen.
You get the anointing from being saved.
Right.
You get the anointing from believing the gospel of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
His death, his burial, his resurrection for your sins. You get the anointing by asking Christ to save you of your sins, not sending you to hell. You get your anointing the moment you trust Christ as your Savior. You repent of your sins. You turn to the Savior and say, "I was once blind, but now I see. I was lost, but now I'm found."
Yes, sir.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
You don't get it any other way, friend. I'm sure David probably recalling in his mind, "Yes, I was anointed by Samuel, but then I had this annoyance of Saul's court. I had this aggressive fighting with this Goliath. I had this annoyance over here, this aggressiveness here. My own men turned against me. But you know what? Thou hast prepared a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil." I got the Holy Spirit's presence in my life. And I'm sure David is recalling in his life what he had. In the New Testament, 1 John chapter 2 And verse 27, it says, but the anointing or the special endowment which ye have received of him abideth in you. Turn over there with me real quick. 1 John chapter 2, next to the book of Revelation. 1 John chapter number 2. There's a factual anointing, but then a spiritual anointing. 1 John chapter 2, and notice verse 27. And the Bible says this in 1 John 2:27. But the anointing which ye have received of him abideth in you. You know what that means? That means that when you get saved, you get the Holy Spirit of God, and he lives in you. He abides in you. The word abide means to house, to home, to remain, to stay. You don't get the Holy Spirit today and lose him tomorrow. The problem is, when you sin, amen, you have just grieved him, and he doesn't have all of you. And you need to confess your sins to a holy God. If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us of all unrighteousness.
Yes, sir.
But when he's got all of you, guess what? He's abiding in you, and he's going to help you do what you need to do. The anointing which you have received of him abideth in you, and you need not that any man teach you. That's what's on. See, I don't need no pastor. I don't need no preacher. I don't need no church. I don't need no Sunday school. I don't need this. Yes, you do. Forsake not the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another and so much more as you see the day approaching. He said, I've left some pastors and teachers for what? For the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the saints. Hey, I left them for a reason. You got to say, I don't need that. Bless God, I can just learn on my own. The Bible tells me so. Why did he talk about the church then? Amen. The anointing he's talking about, nobody needs to tell you what's right and what's wrong because you know it from the Spirit of God. As soon as you do sin, you know right off the bat that it's wrong.
Amen.
You know it's wrong. As soon as you do it, you feel, why do I feel so bad? Because you in sin.
Oh, yes.
And you in sin, they don't even know you in sin. And then you read something, you say, that's why I was feeling so bad. I need to stop that sin. Man, that made me feel bad. Why? Nobody need to teach you what sin is. You know what sin is.
Yes, sir, you do,
sin is the transgression of the law.
Yes, sir.
Amen. You receive of him, he said, you need not any man teach you, but as the same anointing teaches you all things, and is truth, and is no lie, and even as it hath taught you, ye shall abide in him. In other words, you stay in him, he stays in you, amen. You keep the fellowship right. He has all of you, and you have none of you. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
The minute you get some of you, you've grieved him, and you're going to do what's right in your own eyes. What did David say here? David said, you know what? Thou anointest my head with oil. There's a factual anointing, but there's a spiritual anointing, and I've been anointed from on high. It's good to know that when the anointing flies and aggressive fighting of the Christian life and life in general comes our way, we have the inner anointing of the Holy Spirit of God to guide us through anything this life can throw our way. Why? That's God's plan.
Amen.
God said, I don't want you on your own to do your own thing. Why do you think the book of Judges is there? Every man did that was right in his own eyes. That is unprofitable for you. That is unproductive. Teenagers, why do you think your God gave you parents? To tell you what to do. If you do your own thing, that is unproductive. Young people, why do you think God gave you parents? G2's age, Terrell's age, Jordan, Jaden. Because left to yourself, you eat candy all day long. And you won't brush your teeth. And all your teeth will fall out. And you'll look crazy by the age of 12. You'll be so dirty, you'll have so much acne, they'll think you're a cucumber. Why? They don't want to wash. They want to eat all the candy they want. They don't want to brush their teeth. They don't want to comb their hair. They don't want to do all those things. Put on some lotion. Although their skin is dry and they're walking around like this.
Oh, yeah.
You need parents. You need parents. The Bible said this about Jesus Christ in Acts 10:38, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil. For God was with him. The Holy Spirit shows that God is with you. The shepherd anointed them for their health and also for their help. Amen. He wanted to make sure that they weren't going to get hurt when they were doing this aggressive fighting and bumping of heads. He wanted to make sure that, hey, look, wherever you go, you know you belong to me and I belong to you. The anointing. What am I saying? Same way the shepherd provides the anointing to the sheep. For the annoyances and the aggressions, we need a constant and a continual anointing of the Holy Spirit. We need to continually be filled. The Bible says, be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be ye filled with the Spirit. What is that? That's that anointing. Let that anointing take control of you and let the Holy Spirit have all of you. We're either in the spirit or in the flesh, carnal or spirit at all times. Never stop asking God to fill us with his Holy Spirit, to guide us, to direct us, to counsel us, to comfort us, to correct us. And by the way, he will if you ask. So David said, you know what? There is this aspect of he's prepared a feasting for me. There's a factual and the spiritual aspect. He's prepared also an anointing for me. There's a factual and a spiritual anointing from the sheep's view and from a spiritual view. But then this last part, David's shepherd prepares an abounding. He says, my cup runneth over. Go back to Psalm 23. My cup runneth over. I don't know about you, but I'm glad David now reflecting on the goodness of his shepherd through the table that's been prepared in the presence of his enemies and how his shepherd anoints him with oil for his health and his help. And now David is satisfied. And David says, thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. In other words, David's saying, you know what? I have enough and then some. I have enough and then some. When he prepared the table before me in the presence of my enemy, I had enough and then some. When he anointed me with oil, I had enough for the aggressive flies and enough flies can be aggressive too. Amen. For the annoying flies and the aggressive fighting, I had enough. And as a result, you know what? My cup run. He said, I got more than enough. Nothing's going to annoy me. Well, I got the spirit that's anointed me is inside of me. I've got this aggressive fighting and God's going to fight my battles. I don't need this. Amen. The Holy Spirit tells me what to do. He's in me. He's of me. He's going to do everything in and around me that needs to be done because he's of God Almighty. Hallelujah. David said, as a result, my cup runneth over. Say, preacher, what do we need in this cup? Well, the basic thing that we need is grace. There's always enough prepared for me and then some when it comes to the shepherd's table and then some abounding and running over. In grace, the Bible says in Romans 5:20, moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound. But where sin abounded, in other words, where my sin account built up, where my sin account was overflowing, when I lost track of my sins, not one of us in here knows the count of sins that we have committed. Not one of us. From the youngest to the oldest, we don't know the count of our sins. Amen. The Bible says where sin abounded, where sin began to build up in our lives and just ooze out the sides. When people just look at you and say, you're the biggest sinner I've ever seen.
Amen.
You're just wicked for no reason at all.
That's right.
Where sin abounded, grace did much more abound.
Amen.
The grace of God, my cup runneth over. I got enough. Amen. David said, you know what? When he prepared the table for me in the presence of my enemies, that was grace. When he anointed my head with oil, that was grace. And I got so much grace that it's just running over. It's just running. God's good all the time. And all the time, God's good. God's just good. God's just good like that. God's good like that, and we're bad like that. God's still good. God still loves us when we're sinners. But God commended his love to us, and while we yet sinners, Christ died for us. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. That whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. My cup runneth over. I don't know about you, but I got grace. I got grace, and hallelujah for grace. I got walking grace. I got singing grace. I got parenting grace. I got sustaining grace. I got husband grace. Amen. I got pastoring grace. I got every kind of grace you can think about. Why? My God is sufficient for everything. My cup runneth over. I don't have need of anything. Because of his grace. David says, you know what? I'm blessed. You're supposed to say, how you doing? Blessed. They can't even spell blessed oftentimes. But a child of God that truly knows his Bible, we are blessed. We are blessed. And David said, my cup runneth over. I've got enough where sin abounded, a grace did much more abound. I'm so glad that the Bible tells me everything that I need. And so David says, you know what? When it comes down to it, I've got this feasting. I've got this anointing prepared for me. And as a result, I've got some abounding prepared for me. David said, you know what? I'm actually doing pretty good. Now, can you understand why David was a man after God's own heart? You understand why David wrote what he wrote? David intimately knew his shepherd. He personally knew his shepherd. And he's talking about his shepherd right here. He's talking to God still. He said, you know what? Yea, though I walk through the valley of shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod, thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest the table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointed my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Do you know God like that today? Do you know him like that today? Are you eating at the table he has prepared for you today? Have you been anointed by his anointing oil for any and every situation you might find yourself in? And is your cup running over? Hey, my wife sings the song, fill my cup, Lord, fill it up and make it whole. Make me it whole. Make me whole. Lord, just be wholly mine. Lord, have me to be wholly yours. I want to be filled with you. And so as David is winding down this psalm, David is letting you know, I'm no longer talking about my shepherd like I did in 1, 2, and 3. In verses 4 and 5, I'm talking to my shepherd. I'm letting him know what he's done for me. By the way, the shepherd already knows. It's just good to reinforce for the sheep. You know, it's good for you to tell God how good he is. He knows how good he is. Now, he loves your praise, but he wants you to remember how good he really is. And we're talking about a man, David, who had all sorts of annoying things happen in his life and aggressive things happen in his life. But God and his grace dealt with him. Amen. You know, God's grace is sufficient for us. God's gospel is sufficient for us as well. You know what Paul said in 1 Corinthians? I declare unto you the gospel. Turn over there with me real quick, and we're going to close. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. By the way, when it comes to the gospel message, you can't change it. You can't make it any better. Chapter 15, verse 1. Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel, which I preached unto you. It was gospel good news, which you also received and wherein you stand, by which also ye are saved, if you keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless you believed in vain. For I delivered unto you, first of all, that which I also received. Here's the gospel, how that Christ died for our sins. Put your name in there. Christ died for my sins. According to the scripture. Say, preacher, why would he do that? But God, he commended his love toward us while we are sinners. Christ died for us. He loves you. For God so loved the world. Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us. By the washing of regeneration, renewing of the Holy Ghost. God did that. He did. I delivered unto you, first of all, which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins. According to the scriptures. And that he was buried for your sins and mine. And that he rose again the third day according to the scriptures. That, my friend, is the gospel. The death of Jesus Christ, the burial of Jesus Christ, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ for your sins and my sins. Say, preacher, what do I need to do with that gospel? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. Neither is there salvation in any other. There is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. You're either saved or lost here today. You either know Jesus Christ or you don't. You're either carnal or you're spiritual. Whose table have you been eating at lately?
That's good. That's good, Pastor.
Whose table have you ate at? The natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God. They're foolishness unto him. Mm-hmm. Neither can he know them. They're spiritually discerned. You've got to be spiritual to understand this book. The first thing that you need today, my friend, is get saved. That's the first thing. The rest of it, the rest of the table, God will prepare for you. But the first thing, he said, you need to eat from the table called salvation.
That's right,
you need to believe the gospel and repent and get saved. Mm-hmm. Once you repent and get saved, guess what? Follow Christ in baptism.
Amen.
Once you do that, you know what you need to do? Get discipled, get in church.
That's right, Pastor.
And learn. Mm-hmm. And start accessing that grace that God has so that your cup can run over. Oftentimes, Christians' cups aren't running over because they forgot to get to the table.
That's right, Pastor. That's right.
You know, your cup is not going to get full if you don't go to the faucet. Can I get amen?
Amen there, Pastor.
Now, you can drink air all day long and it's not going to quench your thirst.
No, it isn't.
You better get to the faucet. Living water, right here.
Oh, yes.
The Word of God. David said, thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Have you feasted at God's table today? What about yesterday? What about this week?
Well, amen.
You can no longer live on last week's food.
That's right, Pastor.
Spiritually, same thing with the Word of God.
That's right.
Last week's food is digesting, going out of your body.
Mm-hmm.
You've got to have today's food. Folks say, well, I read my Bible last week. That's not going to help you this week. What about today? Heads are bowed and eyes are closed, no one looking around. Let me encourage you, if you've not received Jesus Christ, if you've not believed the gospel, do it today. If you've not gotten to the point where you ask Jesus Christ to save you, do it today. You say, preacher, I don't know anything about the gospel. Why don't you let us take a Bible and show you about the gospel today? About the death of Jesus Christ, his burial and his resurrection for you. Father, thank you so much for David's penning of this psalm. Lord, both from a factual, practical perspective, but also from a spiritual perspective. How, Lord, you have a table prepared for us. It's called the Word of God. And Lord, you did it. Even in the face of enemies, you allowed the Word of God to be penned down and contained in the Holy Scriptures, the King James Bible. And Lord, help us today to access that table so that we can feast even in the presence of our enemies. And Lord God, thank you for anointing us with oil, the oil of the Holy Spirit, that anointing that you have put your seal upon us and within us so that we know that we're saved and sealed. We're sealed by the Holy Spirit of promise. And Lord, thank you that our cup runneth over. As much as we want to get into the Word of God, it's there. It's available for us. And God, help us today to do what you've called us to do. Some maybe need to get into the Word of God a little bit more, get at the table and come and dine. Some have to remember not to grieve the Holy Spirit of God, that they're sealed by it, and confess their sins, get in fellowship with God. Others maybe need to just come down and say, God, your grace has my cup running over. Or maybe my cup's empty. I need more of your grace, Lord, to do what I need to do. Lord, whatever it is, help us to do it today and make a decision to trust you. Lord, for that one that's never trusted Jesus Christ as their Savior, speak to that heart. That man, woman, boy, or girl. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed, no one looking around. How many would be honest today? Say, preacher, if I died right now, I'm not sure I'd go to heaven, but I'm concerned about it. Every head is bowed, every eye is closed. You just stick your hand up and say, preacher, remember me in prayer today. Remember me in prayer. I'm not sure if I died, I'd go to heaven. I see one hand. Amen. You may put it down. Is there another? Amen. I see that one hand. You may put it down. Is there another? You say, preacher, I'm not sure I'm a Christian. Pray for me. Amen. Amen. You may put them down. I'll pray for you. But Christian, how about you? Have you been to the tablelands? Have you come to feast and dine at the Lord's table, his word? Have you been anointed with his oil? And have you been continually refilled by the Spirit of God for the annoyances of life and the aggressions of life? Maybe you need a filling today. How about the grace that's got your cup running over? Maybe you need to ask God, Lord, I need parenting grace today. Lord, I need employment grace today. Lord, I need financial grace today. Lord, I need sustaining grace. Lord, I need enemy grace today. I've got some enemies. Lord, I've got some situations that are hard to deal with, and I need your grace today. Maybe you need to come down to an old-fashioned altar and say, Lord, I need my cup to run over with your grace. Father, bless now in the next moments of invitation. Help the decisions to be godly decisions that would glorify you. And may there be fruit that remains in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's all stand to our feet. Heads are bowed. Eyes are still closed when looking around. As Mrs. Dawson sings, you let God speak to your heart. Maybe you said you're not saved today. Maybe you need to come and let's take a Bible and show you how you can be saved. Maybe you need a fresh anointing today. I'm not going to lay hands on you, but God's Spirit needs to be refilled in you. Maybe you've got the table lands you need to come and feast at. Maybe you need God's grace today. And you'd ask God to help you do that which he's called you to do. Fill my cup. Fill my cup. Let God speak to your heart. Christian, maybe you need to move today. Sir, ma'am, maybe you need to be saved today. Maybe you need to trust the gospel. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, thou shalt be saved. With the heart, man believeth unto righteousness. With the mouth, confession is made unto salvation. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. What about you today? Have you feasted at the table lands of the Word of God? I don't know what God's calling you to do, but I can guarantee you this. He's calling you for something. David said, thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. They're there, but I can still feast. I can still feast on the word of God, no matter who's around, no matter where I'm at. I can do it because I know I've been anointed by oil, by the Holy Spirit of God. So I can do what God's called me to do. I've got that anointing from on high. As a result, my cup runneth over. I've got more than enough. I'm abounding. How about it, Christian? How about it, young person? Do you need to be saved today? You need to submit to the will of God. You need to do what God is asking you to do today. The tableland is already prepared. Holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. The word of God has been pinned down. All scripture is given by inspiration of God. It's profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, instruction in righteousness. Fill my cup, Lord. Fill it up and make me whole. What's your need today? Would you let God fill it? Would you like to be saved today? Only take a few moments. Let us take a Bible and show you how you can be born again. You can avoid that place called hell and make sure heaven is your home. If you're a man, we get a man to work with you. If you're a lady, we get a lady to work with you. But you need to be saved today. We're not promised tomorrow. Our Father, thank you once again for your goodness. Thank you, Lord, that many, many, many have had their cups filled time and again. Lord, thank you for the wisdom in the Word of God and the inspiration of the Holy Spirit and allowing David to pin down from a physical shepherd's aspect, but also from a spiritual aspect, the things that go on with physical sheep that relate so closely to us as human sheep. And God, I pray that the one that has raised a hand and others that are hanging in the balance of making a decision, Lord, you would allow them to take just a few moments to let us take a Bible, show them how they can be saved today. Know that heaven is their home. Thank you so much for meeting with us, God, and pray that as we leave here, Lord, we have been touched by the Spirit's power, and that we'll leave here different than when we came in, and we will ask you continually to keep our cup running over with your grace. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for dying on the cross. Thank you for the gospel. Your death, your burial, and your resurrection. And help us to go. And return tonight in the joy of the Lord, which is our strength. Thank you, Lord, now. In Jesus' name. Amen. I'm going to have Pastor White come, and he's going to dismiss us with a word of prayer and anything that he needs to remind us about. But also, don't forget, he is speaking tonight, so make sure you're back tonight. And he's got some things I'm sure that God's laid on his heart. He's going to share with us. So, Pastor White, you close in a word of prayer.
Come tonight. I encourage you to come, and don't come